Yes.
Blog
if your call drops,
radio.
Call right back, okay?
Okay.
Intelligence with your host, Stephen Hutchinson. Stephen Hutchinson of PowerTax. That's right, of PowerTax.com. Welcome to Financial Intelligence, which is a conversation, a discussion, an explanation, and an elaboration on the subjects of all things financial. Because this subject matter of financial intelligence is an ongoing discussion. It's an ongoing elaboration. It is not something where we just tune in and get a few minutes and it's all over. Finances are there for the rest of our lives. So please, welcome. We'll discuss the mindset, strategy, plans, financial statements, cash flow, partnerships, passive income. Yes, we will touch on all things important, all things financial. And I would like to welcome my guest today. I have a very, very extraordinary guest, a tremendous guest who has performed some incredible activities in relation to self-development, financial development, and inspiring others. And this guest is a native of West Philly, from West Philly. But if I could just give him a brief introduction, he is a serial entrepreneur. He's a philanthropist. He created a foundation. He started a movement called the Circle of Greatness Academy. That's not all. He's an author. He's an activist. He received an award from Steve Harvey. He's a professional speaker. He has an ad. He was featured in Black Enterprise magazine. And like I said, he's from West Philly. And I would now like to introduce you to Mr. Nehemiah Davis. Welcome, my brother.
Hey, happy to be here. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it. A great deal.
Absolutely, my brother. I remember the first time I met you was a few years ago. I think maybe about 6 years ago, something like that, when you were feeding the homeless. That's when I met you. You were feeding the homeless, you know, and I met your mother as well. And as far as I've understood, your mother is your inspiration. So I just wanted to ask you about that inspiration from your mother. Can we start with that right there?
Yeah, you know, my mom is, she plays a huge role in my life. Literally, like, my mom is one of the people who constantly on me. Every day, son, she pray, call me up, pray over me. Then once that's done, what are we getting done today? What are we accomplishing today? What are we doing today, right? So my mom plays a huge role in my life. My dad been in jail since I was 2 years old, so my mom's entire life was dedicated to raising me the right way. So my mom plays a huge role in my life. She's the reason I am who I am today and the reason why I help people and devote so much of my time and energy in helping other people achieve their dreams, because that's what she instilled in me.
Wow, that is phenomenal. And I really appreciate that. I appreciate your connection with your mom, because we always need to give props to these powerful, beautiful black women. They need their props. They need to be recognized. And I really appreciate that you have that and you are displaying that, my brother.
Really
now, well,
good.
What I want – absolutely, absolutely. So let's move on to some financial subject matters because I believe that that's what, as a people, I believe that that's our revolution right now, is attaining a platform of financial security, financial independence. And like I mentioned that you are a serial entrepreneur, not just an entrepreneur, a serial entrepreneur. And that does not mean an entrepreneur who eats a lot of cereal either. Cereal, you have many different entrepreneurial pursuits. Could you speak a little bit about your entrepreneurial pursuits?
Yeah, so I've been a full-time entrepreneur for the last 9 years. So what I call a full-time entrepreneur is when literally you work for what you eat. You know, so I've been a full-time entrepreneur for the last 9 years, trying so many different things and just continuing to try things to figure out what works. So I started with a fruit truck, fast forced, then went to a cleaning company. Now fast forward, now I have the nonprofit Nehemiah Davis Foundation, where my mother and I started about 8 years ago, simply with feeding the homeless. We also have a vitamin store in West Philadelphia where we, you know, encourage, empower people to live their best life through their health, as well as I have an organization called Circle Greatness, which is an organization that we created to help empower and equip entrepreneurs with resources and information to help them get to the next level. So I'm really running three businesses and also my personal business, which is the Nehemiah brand, where people book me to speak. I'm an author, not one book, but three. So I do seminars and presentations. So I'm pretty much running three different businesses, and I just love the fact of being able to do what I love every single day of my life, wake up on my own terms, and just really maximize on every opportunity that's put in front of me. So I'm just grateful to be here and to be able to do what I love every single day is just huge for me.
Yeah, evidently you see it this way too, that you see this financial development and your entrepreneurship as being something which you're going to be engaging in for a very long time. It's not something where you're just jumping in to make some money and that's it. Because that's a concept I get from a lot of people. They see it as something, oh, I want to go and make some money, and that's it. But it seems to me like you have deep roots in relation to your entrepreneurship, like your family, your movement, your foundation. Can you speak a little bit about how it is that entrepreneurship is deeper than just making money?
Well, for me, entrepreneurship, really for me, not only making money, is really about doing what you love. I believe entrepreneurship, people who just want a business, I don't believe in just doing a business because you heard it makes money. I believe in doing a business because it makes you feel good. You're doing a service to others. You're making a difference. So for me, entrepreneurship is all about how can I bring value to someone else? How can I solve someone else's problems? How can I help someone else get to that next level? So entrepreneurship, again, I've been doing it for about 9 years now and just continuing to find what works and what doesn't work. So for me, I just try to encourage people to, you know, if you're going to pursue entrepreneurship, do what you love and money will come. I tell people it's not about money. It's about doing what you love and eventually the money shall come.
Interesting. The money shall come. So now there's a lot of obstacles, right, that people have and people believe that there are in entrepreneurship. You know, a lot of people believe that, well, for one, you got to have money. I'm sure you've heard this concept. You take money to make money, okay? And that idea prevents a lot of people. I've spoke to a lot of people who actually feel like, you know what, I would like to pursue my business ambitions. I would like to build a business. I would like to be a leader, but I don't have the money. I don't have the money, and it takes money to make money. So how would you address that with someone who has that concept?
Well, the first thing I would tell them is to get out their own way. Generally, most people don't become successful because they talk themselves out of success. A lot of people will never become great simply because they're telling themselves all the reason why they can't be it. So when people say, hey, I need money to make money, that's exactly what they're going to do. If they tell themselves, I will become creative and find a way to generate the money, that's also what they're going to do. I believe like what Confucius says, whether the man says he can or whether the man says he can't, he's absolutely right. So I believe in whatever you constantly say out your mouth would eventually come true. So if you keep saying, oh, I can't make it, you won't make it. But if you sit still and think of ways that you can generate money without having money, I believe it's so. My mentor E.T. always told me thinkers get paid, workers rarely do. And what that means is he's not necessarily saying a person who has a job doesn't get paid. But he's saying is if you begin to start thinking, you can get paid even more. And I say that to say I help multiple people start businesses with less than $500 utilizing other people's money. That simple concept of utilizing other people's money, that simple concept of pre-ordering has helped dozens and hundreds and hundreds. I know I've helped dozens of people start businesses, so when someone says you can't make money without having money, that's absolutely false. You just got to get creative. There's several ways you can make money. You just got to start thinking different. You got to start operating different and looking at life through a different lens. As well as I tell people, you got to stop thinking as the consumer and start thinking as the producer. Once you put that hat on, your life will begin to change in major ways.
Okay, so then I could see how what you're talking about, what it seems to me that you're actually identifying here is that it's a particular mindset. It's not so much whatever condition one is in, because another obstacle that people often have, they think that they have to go to school, they have to go to college, they have to get college degrees. Like I know a number of people have told me, yes, I'm going to start a business, but right now I want to get my bachelor's degree in business administration so that I could start my business. Now, that pursuing a bachelor's degree is a whole universe within itself. It's many years, a lot of money. So when people present this type of argument towards you, how would you respond to someone who thinks that they have to go through all of these different avenues before they could start a business?
Well, again, I take it back to the mindset. I tell people the most important thing you can build before you build anything else is build your mindset before you build your skill set. And why it's so equally important to build that up, because you won't allow someone's opinion of you to become your reality. You won't allow someone's opinion of you to stop you from pursuing your business. You won't allow someone's opinion of you to stop you going to where you got to go. Also, always tell people, never get advice from someone who isn't doing what you're doing. Like, never get advice from somebody. Like, if they're not a millionaire, if they're not a business owner, don't take advice from them, because they can't give you a specific outline of how they achieve success if they haven't done it yet. So I tell people there's absolutely nothing wrong with going to school, but I believe in stuff. I believe in commit first, figure out the rest later. I believe in committing to starting that business without knowing how to do it. I believe in committing to start that business with knowing a little bit of information on that business. I have come to realize the best way to learn is by doing. There is no better teacher in this world than a teacher of experience. School will teach you a lot, but school can't literally teach you how to do it. Also, I never understood how a college professor could teach me about entrepreneurship if they never owned the business. Not saying they can't, but I often believe more into the person. I often believe more into the person who's actually out in the field doing it. So me personally, I only get advice from people who are out here doing it. And there's nothing wrong with school. I went to college. But I believe that everything I'm doing now, I don't necessarily have to go to college to do it. Everything I'm doing now has come to me by trial and error and just doing. So, again, I believe the ultimate key to success lies in doing.
All right. So you take it back to mindset. You're saying mindset.
Oh,
my
mindset
now,
is everything.
Speaking of mindset, now, and we were talking about, you know, college, going to college, needing that before one starts a business, right? So I would say that's kind of a myth, actually, as well as people thinking, oh, well, I need a lot of money first before I can start a business, because it costs money to start a business. Whereas you just described that you have taught methods whereby a person can start a business with less than $500 and using the principle of OPM, other people's money. Now, It's actually I have a twofold question, but could you just elaborate somewhat on that principle of OPM, other people's money? What is that?
Well, for me, I tell people there's a few things you need that can really get you to the next level a little quicker than most. One of them is other people's money. One of them is other people's mentors, and one of them is other people's resources. Those three keys right there can take you a lot further than you can take yourself. So I believe they're essential to your growth and your success. So I'll give you a few examples of other people's money. I'll give you a quick accelerated example. You got an idea. Hey, I want to start a t-shirt company. All right, cool. You want to start a t-shirt company. Okay, first step of starting a t-shirt company, let's come up with a name. All right, now that we came up with a name, let's come up with an actual cool design on your shirt. And somebody can utilize this right here, right now, a concept that I'm going to break down in 1 minute. So you come up with a cool t-shirt design. All right, oh, this t-shirt design is so cool. Everyone wants it. Everyone wants to wear it. All right, cool. You digitize that design. So you might you find a graphic designer or someone who can create this design for you. Say, hey, I'm going to pay you in a couple of days. Let me just get the graphic. Can you put it on a shirt so it actually looks like the shirt is on a person? Or it's just a standalone shirt. You got a cool design. Now that you have this cool design, now what you're going to do is you're going to take that same design, you're going to text your whole phone. This is called monetizing your phone. You're going to text your whole phone, hey, I'm super excited. I just released my very own t-shirt company, and I wanted to share with you the very first design. I was also hoping you could be one of the few people who I'm releasing the pre-order to. That simple concept right there, you can send that out to 100 people on your phone. Law of averages states you talk to 10 people, you get the one. So you send that out to 100 people, and you might get 10. So you just sent that out to 100 people, and you possibly got 10 people to buy your new shirt at $20 a piece. Now you made $200 to produce the shirts, and you still got extra money for profit off of you basically sending out this text message and you having a relationship with a graphic designer. And even if you don't have it, they may still do you that favor because you tell them, hey, I'm going to pay you within 48 hours. I literally helped a dozen people do the same concept. Some made 1,000, some made 2,000, some made 20, some made 200, simply with this exact same concept that I broke down in 1 minute. So this is what I would call other people's money and other people's resources. Other people's money because they're buying it, and other people's resources is money is a resource. You're using someone else's money to do it, as well as you're using that graphic designer's resources, which is their skills, to create you this image, right? So now you're able to make money off of the relationships in a graphic design. And you can do this with so many other products. I help people do this with dozens of products. And guess how much you're spending of your own money? Zero. You just got to use your mind. Thinkers get paid. Workers rarely do.
And that is a prime example of that. That's a prime example. You're talking about monetization. You said monetize your phone, you know, which is that's a dynamic concept right there, monetization. Because apparently a lot of people believe in the traditional systems that have been taught through the educational facility or through their families. You know, actually, I'll tell you another experience of mine is that whenever I ask someone about money and how can you get money, the most typical answer is J-O-B, a job, okay? So, and this is very, this is very invasive amongst our people, that people attach money to a job. But you have just explained a process by which you can generate revenue. So can you speak to this idea of when it comes to money, instead of thinking of job, one should think in terms of how can they generate money?
Well, one of the things I say, I tell people there's nothing wrong with a job at all. It just took me getting fired from 10 jobs to realize that I don't need one. So it took me 10 jobs to realize that
but
I don't
you, you
need
said
one.
You got fired from 10 jobs.
Right, right. And when after I got fired from that last job, I said I'm not going back. I coined this term as at that moment in time, I became mentally unemployable. And what that means is no matter how much money you pay me, no matter what, you cannot hire me to go work a job. Like, I work for people now because I'm serving them. I'm trying to help them get to the next level. But I can't clock in. Like, I can't go clock in the clock from 9 to 5. There's absolutely no way I can do that because I understand what the – with my mindset, with what I can come up with in my mind, I can generate whatever amount of money that they're going to pay me. Maybe I can't do it instantly, but over time I can generate this income. So I tell a lot of people there's nothing wrong with a job, and if you have a job, you need to use that job for your benefit, right? I tell people you need to treat your money like an employee. It should always be working for you. So while you're at a job, but start thinking about what you can create. Start thinking about what you can invest your money in, so it can begin working, so you can trade your job for your business. So I tell a lot of people, instead of going to go get a job, what can you create? What comes easier to you than harder than others? What is your gift? What do you believe you were put here on this earth to do? What could you do for the rest of your life and not get paid for? And I'm like, no, I don't want you to physically not get paid for it, but I want you to come fall in love with doing something so well that you now figured out a way to make income from that business. So, again, there's nothing wrong with a job, but I want you to start thinking about those gifts you have. Instead of reading that book, you should write it. Instead of watching that webinar, you should create it. Attending that event, you should create your own event. I just think from a different lens now, and I challenge other people to begin to do the same thing. We all got a special gift within us. We all got something so unique. But we got to tap into that thing. We got to identify what that thing is and do more of it. I believe everyone got a gift, and you have to decide and follow that gift that you have. It's easy. You just got to start.
Now, Nehemiah, back to the 10 jobs, okay? Ray just mentioned that. A lot of people, if they get fired from a job, they feel incompetent. You know what I'm saying? They feel like, I'm a failure. I failed. I tried, you know, I got the job, and I failed. Then they feel disappointed because they're a failure. And people take on these concepts of failing and fear. So can you address that? Because you said you lost 10 jobs, and you decided that you were going to create your own revenue. Most people, if they lose 10 jobs, you know, they're, like, practically depressed, okay?
Yeah.
So speak to that idea
failure. Things I train everyone who I deal with, my circle of greatness members, just anyone who I coach or anyone who's in my circle, I tell them, listen, we embrace failure. Like, failure is a part of the process. The owner of GoPro, before he became a multi-billionaire, his previous business fell. He lost a couple $100,000. But if that man didn't go fail, he wouldn't have been able to get creative. He wouldn't have been able to create the wrist strap that we now know as GoPro to hold his camera while he's surfing. So he needed that failure in order for him to become that multi-billionaire that he is today. So I tell people, again, start looking at things from a different lens. So when I fail, I look at failing as a learning. I call failure as a prerequisite for success. In order for me to succeed at times, sometimes I must fail. Sometimes I must lose, and that's another thing. People look at losing as something bad. I look at losing as learning. Like, when this world that I live in of entrepreneurship, a lot of times it's a lot of trial and error. So if I quit after one failure, if I quit after one loss, guess what? I'm creating a lifelong process of losing. So I'm mentally prepared to handle the word no. I'm mentally prepared to endure a failure. I'm mentally prepared to take negativity. I'm mentally prepared for that because all of those things are necessary for me to become who I'm going to be. I tell people there will be no testimonial without the test. And if you don't fail at one time in life, how will you ever succeed? I don't know any multi-billionaires who are self-made that have never endured a failure. I even tell kids that I train, listen, I say there's nothing wrong with failing a test if you learn from it. I don't want you to fail that same test twice. Most people you interact with, I'm sure you have failed the test before. And most times I ask people, how did you pass that test the second time? They said, I learned from my mistakes. I knew what not to do this time. I studied. So now all failure does is prepare me to go at it again, but smarter, right? So, again, when you get in this world of entrepreneurship, you begin to look at things from a different viewpoint and a different lens.
Well, that is a completely different. It's a revolutionary way of looking at failure. Most people are conditioned to see failure as a problem. It's a negative thing. As a matter of fact, if they fail, they want to hide it. They don't want to advertise that they failed because they feel that failing makes them a failure. whereas you're interpreting failure as being a learning process that you actually learn from. And personally, I absolutely agree with that concept, that failure, as a matter of fact, I was actually considering opening what I call the Failure University, okay, because by going to the Failure University, there is no way that one can ultimately surrender or give in to failure. If failure is a lesson, if that's how we learn, and if we train people and our young people to understand that principle, can you imagine the revolutionary effect of a person with that type of mindset? That my failure is my lesson? I mean, it would completely change, revolutionize us as a people. So now that you have mentioned that about failure, the other difficulty that people have is the little four-letter word, which I'm sure you're familiar with. It's called fear. People have fear. And little word, that small emotion, is known to defeat more people than armies, the navies, militaries. It's fear. So can you speak on that subject of fear and how to deal with that so that one can come to this particular mindset?
Well, one thing about fear is all fear is false evidence appearing real. I tell people it's two types of F words you got in life. One does absolutely nothing for you, and one can do everything for you. One is faith. Faith is that thing that can do everything for you if you believe bad enough and if you want, if you're willing to put the work in. Then you got fear. Fear is that thing that cripples people from achieving success. Fear is that thing that you self-impose on your mind that stops you from believing you could become who you are, right? I was told that you're only born with two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noise. All other fears were adopted. So if you're afraid to get on that ride, it was adopted. If you're afraid to walk in that room by yourself, it was adopted. If you're afraid to do public speaking, it was adopted. So the person who generally succeeds is that fearless person. So you need to adopt a mindset of I'm going to be faithful. You need to adopt a mindset. You need to adopt faith and abandon fear. Like, fear won't do anything for you. If you realize what fear have done for you in the past, why would you want to continue to be fearful? Like, I tell people to do what fears you, that way you can continue to keep going. Do what makes you afraid. Like, do more of that, because I promise you, you will eventually become successful in that area once you make a decision to do so. So I challenge people, stop being fearful, because fear will cripple you. Fear will stop you from achieving your goals. Fear will stop you from achieving your dreams. The reason why the cemetery is the richest place in the world, because everyone who were laying there was fearful of their dreams. They were fearful to write that book. They was fearful to start that movie. They was fearful to film that TV show. They were fearful to create that invention. Those people who succeed in life are the people who believe they actually could succeed. Like, they're fearless. So, again, there's nothing wrong with being fearful, but if you're going to be fearful, you need to go ahead and do that thing that you're afraid of so you can begin to shed off of those fears.
Wow. That is excellent, and that is powerful. I would just like to give a little recognition of our sponsors for a minute, Nehemiah, my brother. I'd like to give some recognition to Genius is Common by Mr. Bruce George, who's a sponsor of this show, as well as Ms. Beverly Black from the Tribe Family Channel. So they are supporters and founders of this particular show. So I'd just like to give them some props and recognize them for what they're doing for supplying us with this platform so that we can do this. Now, my brother Nehemiah, tell me, can you talk a little bit about your foundation? You actually have a foundation. There are very few people, even very few wealthy people, who have foundations. So can you elaborate on this? Exactly what is your foundation? How did you start your foundation? And how does it go and what does it do?
So my mother and I started the Nehemiah Davis Foundation 8 years ago. Simply after I had my first business, she said, son, you're making money, you need to give back. I'm like, Mom, what do you think we should do? She said, how about we feed the homeless? I said, okay. I gave her $50. My mother and my sisters went and fed the homeless. I think they made sandwiches and bought juice. She came back in half an hour and said, I'm done. I'm like, no way. So that next week I said, hey, let me go out with you, and I witnessed her do it. And from that moment, I've been stuck. I've been stuck on just continuously trying to make a difference in the lives of others. One of my favorite quotes is, once your mind is expanded to a new concept or idea, it's hard to go back to its original way of thinking. So once you see something for your life, once you see you can have more, once you see you can make a difference, it's hard to go back to not making a difference. It's hard to go back to not sowing in the lives of others. It's hard to go back to not believing that I could be a multi-billionaire or be whatever I choose to be. So I made a decision at that point that I will make a difference. So from that point, we started Back to School event, where we provided hundreds and hundreds of book bags for kids in need. We started a movement called Food from Heaven, where we provide hundreds and hundreds of homeless people with warm meals, haircuts, and coats. Christmas, we provide hundreds and hundreds of kids with brand new toys and brand new bikes. Every year, we take 50 to 100 kids on a ski trip. So we literally been hooked on making a difference, and it started 8 years ago, and we just continue to add more things for us to make a difference in the lives of others. So that's how we got started, and that's what we're continuing to do now, make a difference in the lives of other people.
That is incredible. That is incredible. I mean, of your many monikers and many accomplishments, the fact that you accomplish the feat of becoming a philanthropist. And I don't even think you're not even 30 years old yet, are you?
I just turned 30.
You just turned 30. Okay, so
yes.
You just turned 30. And already you have three businesses at least officially. It actually seems like you actually have more than three businesses, because you also mentioned that you're...
I'm focused on one thing.
Okay, that's what you're trying to do now?
I said I'm focusing on one thing. That's my goal anyway. Focus on one thing, give it all my energy and attention to see how far it can go.
Okay, so does that mean you will increase the number of businesses you have?
No. I'm saying
you would decrease? That was my question.
You would focus more on Circle of Greatness, helping people reach their goals and dreams, increasing our members. So that's what I'm currently focusing on.
So then can you give our listeners some understanding about the Circle of Greatness Academy, which is a movement that you've started? Can you give people some understanding of this movement?
The Circle of Greatness Academy is an online and in-person community that we create to help aspiring and current entrepreneurs get to the next level. Some of my favorite members who come in are members who don't have businesses, because they come in with no business and they leave out with one, right? So I really love the fact that we're helping people step into their greatness. We're helping people unwrap their gift. We're helping people, you know, discover what they were put on this earth to do. So literally, we help you get to the next level personally, professionally, financially, and relationally, and physically, and focusing on spiritually. We really want people to win in every area of their lives, not just with finance. We want you to be equally successful with your finances as you are with your family, right? So every area of your life, we focus on helping people build. So we have weekly phone calls, we have webinars, we have in-person meetups, and we have multiple occasions where we get together on a weekly basis, whether in-person or virtually, to hold each other accountable to our goals and dreams and see that everyone can reach new heights and new levels that they never thought they can reach.
That is excellent. And I have to... I'll let everyone know that I am a proud member of the Circle of Greatness Academy. That is a wonderful thing. I joined the academy,
and I participated
in the most recent, in the most recent gathering that you had at the Kempton Hotel. That was beautiful, man. Absolutely beautiful. I mean, the things that you are saying. Yes, go ahead.
No. I'm just saying I'm happy that you're a member, and more so happy that you invited me to do this awesome show.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. See, because even though, I mean, for those of us who are actually doing these activities, it seems like a lot, you know, and it seems like, you know, we're doing it a lot. But actually, from a macro view, this is just a very, very small contribution towards this type of revolution. I refer to it as a revolution, a revolution of the self, a revolution of the mindset, a revolution of our finances, a revolution of our independence, a revolution of our networking with one another, a revolution of our creating self-sufficient communities. It's all a part in the revolution of our mindset. So, and the fact that you have physical activities which represent everything you're saying is powerful. It's a powerful testament. And the fact that many of the participants are millennials. Is that correct? In the Circle of Greatness Academy?
Yes.
Yeah, many millennials are taking leadership positions.
Yep, exactly. Majority of them are millennials and women.
And women, that's right. That's right. And are taking leadership positions and moving things forward, accomplishing things, establishing relationships, as you said, which is so primary, so important that we establish relationships with one another so that we can trust one another and build for our future, build for the future, looking forward to, you know, not in like, we're talking about millennials, that's one generation. But as the millennials develop their vision, they can create a template for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which
mm-hmm.
is like what when they talk about generational wealth. People talk about generational wealth. But then there's also generational poverty, right? Some people are caught up in generational poverty, and all they're passing from one generation to another is poverty. And what you're setting up with the Circle of Greatness Academy is a platform in which we could actually pass on a template of success, actually how it's done. And I think it's phenomenal that you're reaching millennials. That is phenomenal. Now, I want to ask you about your speaking career, you know, and about the things that you speak about. And can you, like, expose this to the rest of us? Like, what's it like to have a speaking career? How do you do that? And what do you share with your career?
Well,
and
so
exactly
crazy.
What
I
is
still,
a speaking career?
It's crazy. Still to this day, I don't call myself a speaker. So I'm titled as the author, mm-hmm. entrepreneur, and philanthropist. And the reason why I still don't coin this term, because I don't believe, and again, this is maybe limiting, but some people may view it differently, but I don't believe that I am the greatest speaker, right? So I'm a speaker because I'm an author. I'm a speaker because people ask me, but I'm not, hey, I'm trying to create me a speaker career. I don't want to be the next E.T., the next Les Brown. I want to be the next DMI and live my life on my own terms, doing what I love every single day. So I like speaking, but I look at it as like it's just a part of what I do, but it's amazing that people pay me to be able to come speak, you know. So I really speak on perseverance. I speak on perseverance. I speak on entrepreneurship. I speak on mindset. I speak on just getting you to the next level in life and removing fears. So a lot of my speaking ability is really on mindset training and helping people see the power that they have within them. Right? I believe everybody was placed on this earth with a gift. I believe everybody was placed on this earth with something specific, with a specific task that they were supposed to do. And my goal as a speaker, author, entrepreneur is to help you uncover what that thing is, because once we uncover what that thing is, I call it cracking the code. Your life will look totally different. Then your life will begin to look totally different if we can uncrack that code of what you were put on this earth to do.
Cracking the code. That's
definitely. I guess I am a speaker, and it's crazy to me. Cheney just booked me to speak. Kutztown booked me to speak. St. Joe's booked me to speak. And it's funny. That's why I tell people, man, when God qualifies you, it doesn't matter. I got kicked out of college. Now I'm coming out there getting paid, you know, a couple thousand dollars to go speak at a school. It's just, you know, I could get paid $2,000 for speaking for 20 minutes, 30 minutes at a school for somewhere I got kicked out of. So I just tell people, man, when God qualifies you, when God blesses you, man, there's no one that can stop you from achieving those goals, those dreams, those wishes that you have. So I really challenge people, man, begin to live life on your terms. Begin to speak life into your own life. Begin to believe every goal, every dream, every wish that you have for your life can absolutely come true. And guess what? It'll begin to come true.
Just look at that, man. Look at that example that you chose your own path based on your intuition, based on your internal desire, based on the motivation and inspiration you received from your mom, based on your spiritual conviction. You chose a path to follow. I'm sure that it wasn't an easy path. I'm sure that you had obstacles. I'm sure that people told you, no, you can't do it that way. That's not how you do it. You do it this way. This is the prescription. People are constantly trying to give people prescriptions as to what is success and as to how they can be successful. But here you are after, you know, losing 10 jobs, like you said, and being kicked out of a college. Now you're speaking at colleges. You have attained by your own and by your spiritual conviction and by your leadership qualities and by your association and by your network and by your mentoring, because you're a mentor for many, but you also have mentors. So can you speak about that? Can you speak about the importance of mentorship?
Mentorship, I believe, you know, if I had to classify achieving success, like to give you a hack, you know, like a hack, like, yo, Neil, can you help me accelerate my success? Can you help me get to the goals and the dreams that I have a little bit quicker? One of those things I would say is mentorship. You have to find you a mentor. You got to find someone who's bought into your vision, because ultimately I call having a mentor is a cheat code. It's like activating a cheat code. Like when we used to be in school, well, I used to cheat or whatever. But now I call my life, I get to cheat again, but I get to cheat in a different manner because I got about at least 10 mentors in various fields in my life. I got a mentor who I look up as a father figure, teach me about marriage, right? So some of the things he's going through or went through, he can prevent me from going through those things when I get married, right? I got financial mentors who teach me about how to make money in certain areas, different ways to invest, different ways to do that. So they're going to help me achieve success a little bit quicker than going at it on my own, right? I have mentors who got to similar businesses that I have who's giving me advice on what's working for them. So now that they're giving me advice on what's working for them, Nehemiah, use this system, use this, use that. Now I save countless hours of research and study trying to figure out what works. I just listen to my mentors because they tell me specifically what I do. And me being a mentor to multiple people, I literally give them specific things to do, and I watch it work. And the reason why I know it worked because I already did it. So if I could give you a cheat code, it would be to find a mentor, offer to take them out to lunch, offer to serve them, offer to help them buy their products, find a way to get in their good grace, and serve, then learn as much as you can while serving. So, again, another thing, mentor tip. When you're with your mentor, not just try to suck up all this advice about them, see how they operate. See how they move it. See how they interact with people. See what they're reading. See what they're watching. See what they're doing on a daily basis. And then you apply those things to your particular life, right? So mentorship is key for me. I got multiple mentors, and if it wasn't for me, I couldn't make some of the moves I'm making and do some of the things I'm doing. Granted, I was just on a private jet 2 weeks ago. Do I have the money currently to get on a private jet? Absolutely not. But we took a $20,000 jet ride because I have a mentor who reached out to me and said, Nehemiah, I know this is one of your goals and your dreams. Would you like to come? Would you and your fiance and your mentee like to come fly on a private jet with me? I know that's a goal of yours. Absolutely, I would love to do that. But if I didn't have this mentor, if he wasn't around in my life for these last few years, me getting advice from him, me pouring at me, helping him out, me just being there for him, I don't believe that would have happened. So I tell people getting a mentor is having a cheat code. Guaranteed way to get you some success. And literally, you have to learn from people who are before you. Like, you got to learn from people who are, it could be a mentor, it could be a coach, but don't go try to do anything alone when you got someone else who want to help you. And some of these things you got to pay for. You might have to pay for a coach. You might have to pay to be a part of a group. Like, you have to do what you got to do to get the information that's going to take you to the next level. I spent over $10,000 this year alone in personal development because I know what it can do for me mentally, financially. So it's no question when someone says, hey, it's just no question for me to be able to do certain things because I invested in my mind, and now my mind invests in my pocket. So I challenge people, man, make that decision to find you a mentor, find you a coach, do something that's going to help you get to that next level in your life.
That is excellent advice, and especially talking about mentorship. I mean, I don't even believe that, you know, you could ever really exhaust that subject about having mentors, especially like myself. My father died when I was very young, okay? So I did not have my biological father. It took me many years to figure this out, but what I realized is that that was my biological father. But the father is a function. It's not just the biological union. It's a function. Fatherhood requires teaching. Fatherhood requires companionship. It requires conversation, association, guidance, emotional development. And I realized that I could actually accept mentors. So in other words, I could get to choose many fathers. I can have more than one father. I can have many fathers and I can choose them. Whereas I couldn't choose my biological father, but I can choose my mentors. I have mentors who are like fathers, mentors who are like big brothers, mentors who are like uncles, mentors who are give me financial guidance, mentors who give me emotional guidance and support. So it's an incredible resource that many of us, especially as black men, many of us come from families where the father was not physically present, and we can address that through mentorship. We don't have to go through life, you know, with a broken heart, you know, with that emotional void that's there. We can reach out through mentorship. So that is a powerful element in cracking the code, as you say, and that's what it's about, cracking the code. You know, I also call it dissecting the matrix. You know, you got to figure out how to dissect the matrix. And the way you do that, one of the ways, is through association of others who are doing something similar. Now, here's a question that I have for you. It says, now, as an entrepreneur, do you consider being an entrepreneur a game or a war? Because many people talk about, you know, game. You know, I'm playing this game, learning this game, got to get this game down. And, you know, viewing it as a game, perhaps something to play with, I don't know. But how do you view it? Or what's your opinion on viewing it as a game or viewing it as a war?
I really never looked at entrepreneurship as either. I never say, yo, this is a game. But if I had to look at it in that way, I believe a game is something that eventually ends. So I would really call, more than anything, I would call entrepreneurship a marathon, you know, because it's a continuous process. You got your ups, you got your downs. Even with a war, you got people who are going to lose, you got people who are going to win. It's just a continuous battle. And in most cases in this entrepreneurship world, the first battle is with yourself. So you got to get over that first battle that you had with yourself. You got to get over that first battle that's stopping you from becoming everything you can be, right? So I tell people that's the number one thing you got to get over it. Yourself. Getting out your own way, believing every goal, every dream, every wish you want can come true, but you got to believe that, right? Well, other than that, I believe entrepreneurship is definitely like a war because it's an ongoing battle and it's something that you can never retreat from. If this is your life, like entrepreneurship is my life, I had no other option. It's either this or I was going to die. Like, I made that decision. I said entrepreneurship has to work or it has to work. Like, I'm literally willing to die if they told me I couldn't wake up every single day and do what I love. And I believe once you get to the point of taking it that serious, like, I'm willing to die. Like, if someone say, yo, you going to go work the rest of your life till you 80 for somebody pushing papers, yo, you can take me out now. I'm cool. I don't want to be here. I believe God birthed everybody on this world to live their best life. I believe God birthed people to do what they love, and that could be a job. Whatever it means for you, I want you to do that, right? So in this war that I'm living in, entrepreneurship, I have to be doing what I love. I'm waking up every day to this war right now and doing what I love every single day, and I plan on continuing to do so.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting to me, especially that play of those concepts, a game and a war. Because for me, the concept of a game implies playing. It just implies that it's not that serious, okay? And if I approach something and I'm not that serious, my results are not going to be that serious either. So when I reference a war, what I'm actually referencing is I'm not referencing violence. I'm referencing the seriousness of it and the dedication. When a person is under attack, one has to be serious, dedicated, focused, convicted, must move with conviction. Plus, I think of the term of war in relation to what you mentioned about conquering your own mind. That's stage one. That's the real war right there. The real war is the internal one. You can accomplish that when you can successfully overcome your own mind and get your own self in gear, so that the way I consider it is like you have two choices. You either do what your mind tells you to do or you tell your mind what to do. So if your mind is telling you what to do, that's a problem. But when you can stand up and tell your mind what to do, like you said, you want your money to work for you, well, then you have your mind working for you too. And then your results are going to be phenomenal. Your results are going to be tremendous. Your results will be incredible. Your results will be similar to your results, where you are accomplishing things and moving forward fearlessly. Now, let me ask you this. This is can you tell me what's a major myth that you think circulates amongst people that you would like to dispel, a major myth that people really believe is true, but you would like to uproot that myth? Can you point one out? Or more than one?
I really don't have any major myths. I don't know. I believe a major myth is that people don't believe they could be more than what they see. I tell people to do this exercise that a mentor advisor told me, Suleiman. He said, hey, you got to borrow from the beauty of the future. So for me, what really keeps me motivated is that I see the future. I see where I'm going. Like, I don't see where I currently am. Like, I see where I'm going. I see myself being a multimillionaire, then billionaire. I see myself serving millions of people. I see myself changing thousands of lives. I see myself helping create thousands of entrepreneurs. So I think a major myth that people need to dispel is that they can't become those people who inspire them. Like, I need people to wipe that away, because what God does for one, he can do it for another. So if you can be, if that person became a self-made millionaire, billionaire, best-selling author, entrepreneur, you also can be that. So if I could dispel a myth, it would be for people to stop believing that they can't be those people who inspire. And the tip to do that, start borrowing from the future. Borrow from the beauty of the future. See yourself 10 years from now, you're going to be a multimillionaire. You're going to be a best-selling author. You're going to be an awesome entrepreneur. You're going to be a restaurateur. Whatever you are, you can be whatever you want to be, but borrow from that beauty of the future and see yourself there, right? I tell people all the time, you got to see it before you see it. I see myself. I've been to 44 countries all around the world, and most of these places I've been to, I saw myself there before I've been there. So I tell people, see, okay, borrow from the beauty of the future and believe that you could become that person you want to be. Believe that you could create that life you desire, and then do the work to manifest what you believe.
Wow. So yes. So now you're talking about vision, having that vision that to see the future, you can actually, in other words, like I often talk about, a person may have eyes, okay, but that doesn't mean they have vision. Having eyes and having vision are very different things, because even a blind person can have vision, because vision is your energy being projected beyond where you are now. As you talk about, you envisioned yourself accomplishing these things, and now you have accomplished them. So it goes back to your mindset and your ability to envision your future. So in other words, are you saying that it's incumbent upon people to create their own future, or should people just, you know, kind of see how it's going to work out?
Now, I believe people should create their own future. You still got to see how it's going to work out, but it's better to have that fate in your hands than someone else's. Like I tell people, I believe you should take a chance on you. At one point in your life, just once, even if it's just once, I believe you should take a shot at making it work on your own. I believe you should take a shot at pursuing your dreams. And no, I'm not telling you to quit your job, quit anything, but I'm staying on your side, on the side, on the extra time you have, because I believe we got 186 hours in a week, 40 of them maybe attributed to work, add an extra 10, 50 for travel. But I believe you could take 10 hours out of that week and put it towards your goals, put it towards your dreams. So I tell people, man, take a bet on yourself. I believe betting on yourself can be that thing that can take you to the next level. Everybody who I've seen bet on themselves has become successful. Or at least they attempted. Like, at least I want you to say, yo, I gave it a shot. It didn't work. I'm going to go back, do this job, or I'm going to go back and do whatever. But at least you said, yo, I gave it a shot. I gave it a whirl. Gave it a run for my money.
That is excellent, man. Taking a shot on yourself. Nehemiah, we're actually down to, like, about 3 minutes. We got about 3 minutes left for the show. So I did want to see if we have at least one question from this number here, 302-753-1331. I want to turn on your mic to see if you have a question or a comment. That's 302-753-1331. Do you have a question or a comment? Hello, are you there? Caller? Okay, I'm going to try one more. I'm going to try 484-326-1841. That's 484-326-1841. Caller, do you have a comment or a question? And welcome to the show. Hello, are you there? Okay, they may not be prepared. But Nehemiah, my brother, thank you so much. You know, thank you so much for your energy, for your direction, for your advice, and most of all, for your example. Your example. Though we are not perfect, none of us are perfect, but there is a certain degree of perfection that we have. Like, in other words, I like to say, though I am not perfect, I am perfectly me. And though you are not perfect, you are perfectly you. And Nehemiah, we are so appreciative that you are perfectly you. Thank you, my brother.
Thank you very much for having me. You have a phenomenal day. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely, sir. Thank you. Do you have any final words, or are you good? Okay.
Oh, final words really would take a chance on yourself. Find a way to live your best life now. Leave an impact on this earth. Also, start afraid. You know, a lot of people are afraid to follow their goals. A lot of people are afraid to follow their dreams. Like, ask yourself, really, what is the worst that can happen? And then I want you to go after it, go chase it, never give up, never give in, and believe that your best days are ahead of you and not behind you. And remember, God didn't put you here to be average because you're awesome and rule the world with everything you love. So have an amazing day, and that will be my closing words. Thank you so much for having me.
Power up, my brother, power up.
All right,
everyone. Thank you for participating in Financial Intelligence as hosted by myself, Stephen Hutchinson. Thank you so much for your participation. Also, I'd like to thank our sponsors. Thank you so much, Mr. Bruce George, and the Genius is Common. You can check out Genius is Common. It's actually a worldwide movement, geniusiscommon.com, as well as I like to offer our respects and appreciation to Ms. Beverly Black of TribeFamilyChannel.com. Please check out Tribe Family Channel and get more and more elevation, inspiration, and beauty, intelligence, knowledge. Thank you very much. Appreciate you unlimitedly. See you at the next Financial Intelligence Show. Thank you.